Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cybersecurity Matters Podcast. My name is Christian Redshaw, and joining me, as always, is the remote workforce himself, Mr. Dominic Vogel.
That's me.
So, Dominic, we have a remote episode today, given the crazy world circumstances. We're going to try that new format and tell our audience who do we have in the virtual hot seat today.
Yeah, well, today I think it's really great that we're able to expand outside of Greater Vancouver. Yes. There's a silver lining there, be able to speak to other people outside of that. And so today we have our good friend and a friend of the show as well, Carolyn Hart, coming from Windsor, Ontario. So it's going to be really, really great. You know, she's the founder of Inspire Hub, mm-hmm. a fantastic organization. Carolyn is just an awesome individual. So, I mean, you and I have talked to her countless times. I'm very excited to share our conversation with her, with our viewers.
Awesome. Likewise. So let's bring Carolyn on, and we will be right back with Carolyn.
Carolyn, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join Christian and I. I know we're really looking forward to the conversation.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. It's a long time coming. I mean, we have planned for you to make a trip out to Vancouver and be on the show, and we've had so many topics that we've talked about discussing, and here we are under these weird, unusual, once in every 100 years kind of circumstances, and game plans thrown out the window, but actually you're finally here, so we're pretty stoked that it's finally happening.
Yes, finally, we're here. It's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's get into, why we have been talking about doing this episode today. It is a really timely thing in that it's a lot of people are working from home and they didn't expect to. So all kinds of, you know, mindsets and myths and fears around it. But this is not new to us, and this is definitely not new to you and your team. I mean, how long have you been a remote workforce? Like 7 years, right?
7 years, and 100% remote workforce for 5 years. And what's interesting is we started off remote, and I had to do a lot of convincing of, you know, different people who had a vested interest in our company that this was going to be okay, and actually it would be more productive for us. And then around the year and a half mark, we opened up a traditional office in Dallas. And because, you know, there was still that level of discomfort, you know, so I had half of my team remote and half working from this office. And then about 5 years ago, we closed that office because it was so clear that our productivity was through the roof. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the aha moments for our team was I flew down from Canada to the Dallas office. We get into this boardroom to start, you know, doing some work because now we're going to be so much more effective, right? Because we're there in place. Yeah. And it was so frustrating. We couldn't get the speed that we were used to. So this is a true story. We left, everybody went back to the individual offices, shut their door, logged back on. And I remember saying, I'm so glad I flew all the way from Canada so to have this meeting. And the only difference was I could hear this laughter down the hall. Yeah. And after that, there was some really serious conversation. I mean, why are we doing this? Especially in our work, we're a software company. And the whole idea, the whole hypothesis I had is we were building this platform to help people who are disconnected communicate with each other in a secure environment and create like digital communications platforms, everything from, you know, apps to portals to hubs to neighborhoods and communities, all digitally. And I had this idea that if our team was actually not sitting next to each other, we probably would produce a superior product because that was the whole point of us being together. And so for me, you know, our whole team is like, we've been training our whole lives for this moment. There has been zero change at Inspire Hub. For us, the only change is, I will say, the frequency of people now realizing, you know, with what has happened, this is extraordinary. So, you know, a lot of people are afraid right now. They want to, you know, look to, I jokingly say I'm like the grandmother now of remote because we've been doing it for so long. But they're looking for, you know, is this going to be okay? Yes, it's going to be okay. And especially for, you know, you're in cybersecurity, I'm in digital, we work together already. And what people need to understand is what has happened in the last 30 days is this: the world just got more digital, not less. And so we find ourselves in this extraordinary environment. However, there's a lot of familiarity, and I think there's a lot of things that we can actually look forward to once we get past this crisis.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you're going back to 5 to 7 years ago. There were some lessons learned there, and you told the story. I want us to be able to help people who are in that situation where they're going through different emotions. There's a whole lot of uncertainty about their work, the company that they work for, the company that they own, the company that they run. What mindset can we arm them with in terms of things being more digital? I know I'm kind of starting to answer my own question here, but I think that a lot of people, like where I worked, I used to work at a big credit union. In fact, that's where Dominic and I met. Most of the mentality was that if you weren't in the branch, you were not working, which certainly is not the case, as is proven by companies like yours. So there are these myths that are being busted. What mindset would you like to impart to business owners and professionals and workers that are watching?
Right, and you know, and let's also talk about this. We're talking about, it's different for every business in every industry, right? So for those of us who are knowledge workers working in a knowledge economy, this is going to be a smoother transition than those who have, are like first responders, for example. Right. You know, over the years, I have always said this, that, it's going to be a very different experience. For example, if my house is on fire, physical fire, I'm going to need the firefighters to show up in life and not via virtual, you know?
Yeah, so, not virtual firefighters.
And so we talk about that, but that is really important because right now you're going to have a lot of people watching your webinar and not all of this is going to apply. And what I'm going to say to people is there is usually, you'd be surprised how much you can translate into virtual that is physical. Mm-hmm. Right. We actually learned that. That was one of our first lessons. So don't just completely dismiss it and say, well, you know, I'm a restaurant, for example, and my restaurant is closed right now during this crisis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what can I be doing? Well, the answer is a lot, because what's going to happen is we're going to get through this crisis. So, you know, yes, it's really difficult because you don't have that revenue coming in the door, but we do know that there's going to be another side to this. And so this is the time for businesses to be leaning in and to be doing your housekeeping items and doing those digital strategies that you've never had time to. You have time, and you couldn't be more digital if you tried right now. So this is the time to lean in. When it comes to the practical realities, we got a lot wrong at Inspire Hub, even though we were a virtual company. There was this idea back then that because you were virtual, somehow you were more virtuous as a company, and that we were uninspire hub. And you can create a toxic culture virtually just as easily as you can when you're sitting next to a person that's physically next to you. What we have discovered at Inspire Hub is it really comes down to the relationships and the words and the conversation and the communication that you have. And if you aren't doing those things in a positive way, the same impact that you would have negatively in the physical space has a negative impact in the virtual space.
It same just, principles apply.
It doesn't, right. There are some things that are very unique to virtual. Like, I'm going to say this because it's true. Wear pants. Okay? Like, you think. I know. In the last week, even
if
early
it's pajama
on,
so, pants, wear pants, right?
Be dressed, okay? Because the thing is, in a virtual environment, you think that you're okay. You're only going to see somebody from the waist up. An emergency can happen. Right now, we got people at home with kids and dogs. You're going to jump up in camera, and you don't want to be embarrassed. So be appropriately dressed. The crazy things can happen in the virtual world, and you don't want, you know, to do that to other people. So make sure you're appropriately dressed, and really just understand that there is a level of, how can I say this, compassion happening right now in the virtual remote life, which is really lovely. We never had that in the last 5 to 7 years that we've been doing this, because people do understand, like, you're working from home and you've got your kids and all of that. But I will say there are some things you can do. For example, if you do have a place where you can shut the door, do that. Last week I had a sales call with a client don't take the meetings from your unmade bed. Please and thank you. That happens.
Which starts with let's make our beds first and then leave.
You know,
I always try to do that as a success habit of every day, but sometimes not so much.
Of course, you know, but also about camera angles, okay?
Totally, if you're, totally.
Use the camera angles. I always tell people the great thing about the ceiling, if you angle it up, is that it's usually got nothing on it. So you're going to look more organized at an angle going up than down. Some practical realities of all of that. I mean, we're laughing about it, but these are real issues. I think in the blog that we did, Suddenly Remote, we actually put all the practical things there, like recreating your physical workday, making sure you get in every morning and say good morning to everybody online, having a virtual water cooler where people can come in and out of and just kind of have those moments of human connection. Those are the things that make your team, those moments of joy and laughter. We heavily use GIFs and memes as a way to spread humor and joy across Inspire Hub and, you know, get your GIF library going, because it will make a big difference when you're trying to have that engagement with people who are virtual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many benefits to being virtual. Obviously, the flexibility of the schedule, and then the time that you get from not having to sit in traffic. And here, and I'm sure where you are too, it's maybe just as bad. The traffic is so brutal that you lose probably 2 hours of your day. So boom, there's more opportunity for productivity right out of the gate.
Yeah, one of the things that we actually do is we do create our very best to hold actual traditional business hours. One of the benefits of being able to work from home, and certainly you get that time back, one of the negative things that can happen is you can find yourself quickly doing 60 and 80 hours a week and not feeling like you are. And until all of a sudden you find that you're having, you know, burnout basically. And it's because we are meant to also have downtime. And that downtime is something that we measure very carefully within the Inspire Hub team. We're always looking at our energy levels, making sure that people are logged off and doing something other than their work. You need to create that balance. It will not happen naturally. Mm-hmm. Our natural tendency is that you're just going to be connected the entire time. And so by making sure that as leaders, you're telling your team, we expect you to be logged off. You're not, if I send an email at 8 o'clock, I don't expect you to have to reply. Those are the kind of really healthy things that leaders can be doing for the remote workforce. And certainly, I mean, we're working together. Some of the other stuff that is really important, I'm so glad you guys are doing this, is being cybersecurity aware. There's a lot going on in the world right now with everybody on digitally. Yes. And so, you know, some of the things that you've worked with our team on, and we're technical and we're virtual, and I think people don't think about this, but when you're having sensitive business meetings, one of the things that you guys do with us that we teach others now is, for example, making sure that you have that link shared, not out for everybody, for everyone to see, but really carefully, you know, we actually do it down to the minute when it's really sensitive stuff. Mm-hmm. And, but I'm sure you guys have some advice too on the cybersecurity part of working remotely.
Well, I mean, I don't think cyber criminals are taking this time to go on vacation. I think they're aware of it and they're looking to take advantage all the more. So I know Dominic has just been sitting here
I've enjoyed the banter so much.
but I think I'll let him speak now because I've entirely dominated it.
And it's a good point that you bring that up, Carolyn, because now you have this entire remote workforce which is suddenly being mobilized. And most small mid-sized businesses are just going to take the least path of resistance. And that may just be using some free piece of software online, like GoToMyPC, which isn't ideal in a corporate setting or in a business setting. So, I mean, helping businesses understand, you know, really just comes down to basics. You know, if you're an organization which is purely virtual and which you don't even have any servers, so like Inspire Hub, there is no internal network. You're just accessing cloud applications. So there, for organizations like that, you should just be focusing on user access controls, making sure that the users just have access to what they need. Organizations that may have more of a traditional network, and if they have a traditional network, they're going to likely use something called a VPN, so a virtual private network. And in doing that piece, again, it all comes down to making sure you're restricting access. You don't want to just punch a hole into your network and give everyone access to everything. So restricting the access there, leveraging multi-factor authentication, mm-hmm. not just relying on username and password. At the end of the day, it just comes down to doing basics. And I think just having that moment of pause, even though everyone's trying to rush and trying to get remote work capabilities up and running, mm-hmm. it's important that they do so in a secure fashion. I think just our takeaway for people is that it's important that this isn't something that they just roll out without thinking. Take the time to at least do it securely. Otherwise, your workers may be able to work remotely, but you've now just opened up Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm. And I think, go ahead, Carolyn.
I was just going to say, I mean, in for the viewers that are watching, in full transparency, I mean, we met because we hired you, right? And I think, you know, I'm so grateful that that is behind all the stuff that we did. And, you know, we're a we're a technical company. We felt like we were more savvy in many areas. And certainly we were when it came to certain things. But mm-hmm. I think the other parts that you're talking about being, you know, the social awareness, being sensitive to, you know, different things that we're doing, all of those things. I mean, for us, your expertise has certainly been something that I know that we're benefiting from and benefiting from, and now our customers are benefiting from, because mm-hmm. We're obviously offering everything that you guys are doing. And right mm-hmm. now, that's one of the things I think people aren't yet. They're still in that crisis mode right now. I just got to get online and get my meetings mm-hmm. done. Yep. But mm-hmm. they also need to be aware that you do have to very quickly get past that crisis mode, get your stuff set up, and then make sure that you're doing everything that you need to from mm-hmm. a privacy standpoint and a security standpoint. My guess, I mean, you're in this, but my guess is that the majority of small to mid-sized businesses, I know that they don't think about that. They don't even think mm-hmm. about that when they're building their digital experiences. So that's how we met, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm like, we're not open source, we're closed circuit. And you mm-hmm. helped us with, you know, making sure that we're doing everything in our power to help our customers be safe. Mm-hmm. And so I guess my question over to you, because I know that we're gonna, a lot going on right now, is what do you think would be, if you were to give the top 3 points that are, when it comes to privacy and security for a brand new, they've never worked remotely before, what would you say those 3 things are? I'm pretty sure that I already did all that because, you know, we just did our consultation. So basically, I just want to hear how amazing we are.
Credit to you. First of all, credit to you guys, to you and your team, because in an unprecedented way, you guys sprung into action mm-hmm. and tackled these things so quickly. Your team has been a power team, a team of action, and I admire you guys.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, it comes down to engagement, you know, and to answer your question there, Carolyn, you know, that top three, I would even put as number one, being engaged, not just looking blindly for checklists. I think being engaged in the mm-hmm. process and being engaged and wanting to do the right thing. Without that, everything else is just a trial in futility or an exercise in futility. But going down further from that, you know, I mentioned earlier, multi-factor authentication. You know, most businesses, especially smaller mid-sized businesses, either use G Suite or Office 365. Turn on multi-factor authentication. That literally takes email-based attacks from up here all the way down. You know, that is a very simple and cost-effective measure, bar none. And, you know, to me, the other one as well is, again, just identifying where is that critical data. Knowing where it is, really restricting that access around that. If we're going to talk about prioritized efforts, to me, it comes down to those areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and would you say, one of the things that I find interesting in working with our clients, two things that they don't think about when it comes to the cloud, and you know, it's one of those things, it's there, but I think we had this conversation before, right, where I was like, you know, the cloud is not this virtual thing. There's actual buildings with hardware that's going on. So, you know, you need to protect that. And right behind that, I cannot believe, and I would be interested in knowing what you're seeing right now, but the amount of businesses, and I'm talking even the big, I come from Fortune 500, right? So even the big businesses and the employees working in there, mm-hmm. really, is your password actually password 1234? Like, what? Because, I mean, this is basics, right? We have people in crisis, they're getting online, and their passwords, and like you said, you know, the hackers aren't taking a spring vacation right now. They're like, this is amazing. And you're logging in and your password is not even defensible. I mean, is that something that you think is also an issue?
I would say it's part of that broader umbrella of better password management. You know, multi-factor authentication to me is the good stopgap around that. So even if you do have a crappy password, you need that multi-factor authentication. I think the whole username and password as a security mechanism is broken. It was great in the 1960s, but 2020, it's a broken model, you know? So that's where you need to have multi-factor authentication. So
so what I hear you saying is that the technology from 1960 probably shouldn't be relying on that for security in 2020. Is that what you're saying?
As Dominic always says, 1995. That seems to be his baseline of being obsolete.
That's because 1995 was an amazing year.
It was a great year.
It's the year I graduated high school.
Yeah, I was 9. It was great.
What? Oh man.
Dominic's just
I'm older than I look. Don't let the gray hair and grizzled beard fool you.
Younger than you look.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Younger. You're younger. Yeah. Yeah. So, what else can I help you with as far as the remote work thing? I mean, there's a lot to it. There's mental health, there's the workforce operations.
Yeah, you mentioned an article, Suddenly Remote, is that what you called it? Mm-hmm. How do people access that?
Yeah. I have it on LinkedIn. We're actually, I'm going to be launching a series of webinars with some of my partners called Suddenly Remote as well, where we're going to give businesses those steps. So if you hit me on LinkedIn, I'll make sure you guys have the link so that you can share it. It's also on InspireHub.com in our blogs. It's kind of everywhere right now. We wrote it on March, we actually published on March 3rd. So didn't realize what was going to, you know, be happening, but wow, it has.
You didn't realize how prophetically accurate you were.
No, I didn't realize it was going to become a thing, and it became a thing, right? Because now everybody, including the critics who were on me, you know, weeks ago, are now suddenly eating their words and saying, okay, we're listening. And maybe it is possible that you guys can have an innovative team that's, you know, globally distributed and be innovative. I mean, now they're hoping I'm right. You know, before it was, you can't be right. Now it's like, dear God, we hope she's right.
That's our only
hope. We're
all
in trouble. So, I mean, on that note, what I would say is not only are we right, but let's talk about what the future looks like. And my guess is that we will never go back to the way it was. So what's happening right now with this grand social experiment across North America is every employee and every manager is getting a taste of what it means to be super productive. Mm-hmm. They are. Mm-hmm. They, you know, even if you have your kids going on, all of a sudden you're waking up. I have people saying, I'm online at 7:30 in the morning right now because I'm not in a car commuting, right? Mm-hmm. And they're having this flexibility. And so what's going to become the norm in the business future, and there's a lot of ripple effect that we could talk about at another time, mm-hmm. but what's really going to become that norm is this way of working. And our team has often said there's no way we would ever want to go back to that traditional work environment because it is just so productive to be working remotely in every way. It just is.
Perfect. Well, that's a great note to end on because, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time.
Thank you, as always, Caroline, for such an awesome convo. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. All right. Bye-bye.
See ya. Christian and I will be right back momentarily to wrap things up on the show.
Well, as expected, Dominic, a great conversation, value-packed conversation from Carolyn at this critical and somewhat crazy and unpredictable time that is filling many hearts with fear. Yeah. You know, my biggest takeaway from her is thinking about her background. Mm-hmm. She's been doing this remote workforce thing for, 7 years?
Yeah, almost a decade.
pushing, I guess, a decade. Yeah. So she's been preaching this. Yes. A message of, you know, what others are being forced to do now. Mm-hmm. So out of that comes a helpful, practical set of tips for people who are moving into that space and some reinsurance as well.
And you know, the thing with awesome thing with Caroline is that she always delivers a fantastic performance. You know, that was a really engaging conversation. Like you said, she laid out some really great points. And as well, you know, from our point of view, remote workforce, that is the way of the future.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so many virtual companies already in which this new sort of world order of sorts, it doesn't really affect them because they're already in, you know, they're already running from a virtual point of view,
right?
Like companies like Inspire Hub are. So for those where they haven't planned for this, mm-hmm. there's going to be a big adjustment there. Mm-hmm. And I think from a cybersecurity perspective, yes. it's important that they just don't open up the walls and have at her. You know, they need to make sure that they keep the cybersecurity components and the cybersecurity strategy in mind with how they're doing remote access.
Mm-hmm. So Carolyn is definitely part of the reassurance team of transition to the remote workforce,
yes.
and we really appreciate her input. Thanks for watching. You can check out our other podcasts on conversationsthatmatter.tv, or you can find us on the Conversations That Matter YouTube channel under Cybersecurity Matters playlist, or you can listen to us wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week.